All right, continue our study in 2 Peter chapter 1, or actually 2 Peter chapter 2. Before we come to the communion table this morning, let's take a look at this passage. One of the things that Peter's been building up in the second book, letter to the Galatians, actually, is the fact that there is a danger, an imminent danger of false teachers coming in and leading people astray. And that's always been the case. So the first epistle that he wrote was dealing with standing up under persecution. The second epistle he writes here is, in fact, being aware of those false teachers who come in. Matter of fact, if you take a look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and you compare it with the book of Jude, they're very, very similar. Of course, they're dealing with the same issue and has the same problem. All the way through Scripture, all the way through the history of man, Satan has counterfeited what God is trying to do. All the way back to the Garden of Eden, you already begin. You have God says this, Satan says, no, that's not true. This is what's true. Elijah faced false prophets. Matter of fact, it's interesting, is it not, that there's one Elijah and 250 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And so he had, you know, one true prophet and then 250, you know, prophets of Baal. By the way, God wins that one, as he wins each one. Elijah faced false prophets. Amos faced false prophets. As a matter of fact, the high priest of Samaria told Amos to go home, prophesy down there. He said, no, you don't understand. I'm not a prophet. I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore figs. God sent me up here to deliver this message. Jeremiah faced false prophets. As a matter of fact, I remember from Jeremiah chapter 24, you have a false prophet, Hananiah, who stands up and says, listen, everything's going to be prosperous. Everything's going to be great. And Jeremiah says, listen, if what you say is true and God has not spoken through me, may you live and prosper. And 3 months later, the guy dies. So that didn't work out too well for him either. But the point is, there's always going to be what? There's always going to be false teachers. And they're very subtle. I want us to take a look what Peter says here. And one of the things I want you to notice here is he doesn't mince words, doesn't have time. This is his last letter. He says, listen, I want you to pay attention. I'm not going to dance around this subject. I'm not going to mince words. Notice what he says here. Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle. Destruction does not slumber. Peter warns that he doesn't. Now, I want you to notice this is very direct what he says here. He doesn't say, well, there might be false teachers, right? It could be. He says, no, they're going to be false teachers. There's no church that's ever existed where there hasn't been this infiltration of false teachers. And so he compares the false teachers to the false prophets in the Old Testament. He says, just like it was in Israel where you had the false prophets, you're going to have false teachers in the church. Elijah battled the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Micaiah, a prophet faced Ahab's false prophets. All his prophets says, go out and you're going to be prosperous. And And Micaiah says, yeah, you can go out and be prosperous. He says, didn't I tell you not to lie to me? He said, I'll tell you what I saw. I saw the Lord in heaven lifted up. And he had a council out there. Not that the Lord needs counsel, but he just put the question. He says, who will cause Ahab to go out that he might die? And finally, a lion spirit stood up and said, I'll do it. He said, how do you do this? I'll put a lion spirit in his prophet, in the tongues of his prophet. And he did. 1 Kings chapter 22. And so, always facing problems. You know, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 28, facing Hananiah. Always. You know, one of the things that I think we don't do a very good job in seminary is telling them what they're going to face. Say, you think things going to go smooth, you know, things going to go, you got this large church, everybody's going to love you. Matter of fact, the scriptures warn, right? He says, be careful when all men love you, right? It's just made, you know, to be careful. Paul warned of the same thing in the book of Acts. We have in Acts 20, told the Ephesians church, says, you're not going to see my face anymore. He says, I'm going to give you this one warning. He says, amongst you, he's referring to the elders, amongst you elders, there's going to be raised false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing. And so amongst the leadership itself, whatever God creates, Satan counterfeits. Whatever God creates, Satan counterfeits. And so both Peter and Paul, and by the way, Jude as well, state that false teachers not may arise, but what? Will rise. They will rise. And by the way, it is quite often more of them than those who are teaching the truth. They will rise, not possibly rise, they will rise. Now notice the characteristics he says about these false teachers. He says, listen, they're devious. By the way, you'll never have a false teacher coming to the church which has a badge on and say, hi, I'm a false teacher. I mean, you know, it'd be nice. I mean, you know, he said they secretly smuggle in deceptive heresies. Now, heresies, the Greek word literally originally meant to just have a difference of opinion, but it came to mean having false ideas or factionists. They secretly bring, they don't come in, they usually come in, they're very friendly, and they sound like they're teaching the truth, but they begin to mix in a little bit of error, a little bit this, a little bit of that, and they start pulling people away. And so the introduction of heresy is very subtle. And not only is it very subtle, but it's awful hard, especially the uninitiated, that to discern where the error started. By the way, that's why it's so important for you to be well-grounded in Scripture, for you to recognize truth from error, right? You have to be well-grounded. And so here, it begins to subtly and begin to mix the truth with the error and begin to start deviating. And quite often what they'll do is say, now, since this part is true, then this also must be true here. And they begin to pull away from what the scriptures teach. And so, and after the congregation begins to trust this false teacher, they slowly replace truth with error. Now, heresies are destructive because they lead people away from the one true Christ. Satan does a much more devastating job of counterfeiting than he does opposing. You know, matter of fact, Paul says over in 2 Corinthians 11 that he appears as a what? An angel of light. I mean, he doesn't show up with a red suit and a pitchfork. it looks truthful. Matter of fact, I would say the vast majority of those church congregations that we have in our country and around the world are not really churches of Jesus Christ. They have this deviation or that deviation or heading off in this direction, culture, and so on like that. And so they begin to do this. Now notice the second thing it says, not only did they secretly bring this in a very subtle way, it says here that they deny the Lord they claim to profess. By the way, this is the largest section that the commentators deal with in this passage as far as what does he mean that whom the Lord died for them? Well, you know, the Lord paid for the sins of the world. 1 John chapter 2, 1 and 2. And they profess Christ, but they're not of Christ. And that's why, Kevin, I had you read out of Matthew 7. Many are going to come that day and say, what? Lord, Lord, didn't we do many great things in your name? We cast out demons. Now, I want you to notice that some of these can produce signs and wonders. Say, well, it must be true. Look what they've done, but it's a deception. He says, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I what? I never knew you. And so false teachers will do signs and wonders, and Christ had died for them, and they have. And by the way, most false teachers know what the real truth is, but they reject it. And it has to do with power. It has to do with control. Making gain. We're going to talk about that in a second. So there'll be many who will follow these false teachers to their own destructions. Notice that they gain a large following. Why is that? Well, because they promise great things. You'll be prosperous. You'll be wise. Isn't that what they promised Steve? Satan says, well, God knows if you eat of this fruit, you will know good from evil. And you'll be like what? You'll be like God. By the way, if you read Isaiah 55, you know, it makes it very clear this one God. He says, who am I and who are you going to compare me to? I mean, one God, position's already been taken. He said, now notice the third thing it says here. False teachers will bring clever words in that really very subtle, very clever. They will bring feigned words. Let me talk about this word, feigned words, this false words. The Greek word that this translates is the word plastos. It is the word we get plastic from. I said, isn't that interesting? Why do we call plastic plastic? From the Greek word. Well, it's because it's man-made. It's not out of nature. When Bakey... You don't know the word Bakey, right? 1910, when Bakey put polymers into resins, into water, and boiled them to make a new substance, he produced what became known as Bakelite, which was the first form of plastic. It opened up a whole new industry. You know, plastic is fake rubber. It's something man-made. It's not genuine. You say, well, it's real. Yes. The false teaching is real. It's real false teaching. It's plastic. It's not things. And that's why plastic, by the way, doesn't really break down well because it's a massive polymer. It doesn't break down in nature. It's not natural. It's very useful to us. Almost everything around is plastic. But it's not genuine. It's not natural. And so use plastic words, fake words, you know, that's not there, plastos. And by using the false teaching, they blaspheme, it says, what it means to speak against the truth. Truth and error cannot coexist. You cannot have two statements claiming to be truth about the same subject and both be true. You know, truth stands on its own. G.K. Chesterton said there's many ways to fall, but only one way to stand straight. It's only one truth line that can be taken. Eve was promised. Now, I want you to, this is why so many people follow these false teachers. People follow them because of deceptive words, promises great gain for the followers, and they come. He was promised that three things. First, you shall not surely die. And number two, this will make you wise. And number three, you will become like God. By the way, all three of those were false. First of all, in the day you eat thereof, you will what? You will surely die. Secondly, the fact that she didn't become wise. Matter of fact, she went away from wisdom. And third, she surely did not become like God. And so all of the problems we have in humanity comes from that particular decision. Now, false teachers promise prosperity, the prosperity gospel. As a matter of fact, I remember, and it's amazing how many people fall for things like this. You know, had this, Reverend Ike out of Chicago, you know, if you will send this amount of money in, I will send you a handkerchief that I've blessed. And if you lay this handkerchief down on whatever you want to prosper, it will prosper. Millions and millions of dollars. I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, Benny Hinn, right? He's reaching out, and Ernest Angsley. You know, reaching out to the telescreen screen. If you put your hand in your telescreen screen right now, my hand's touching yours, and I am passing my blessing on to you. What a bunch of nonsense. But people believe it, right? People follow it. Because people want to be told things that they want to believe and want to be told that everything's going to be all right rather than being told the truth. You know, Jesus said the truth will do what? It'll set you free. If you're free, you're free indeed. And so false teachers come in not because of the fact that they are telling something that people need to hear. They're telling people something they want to hear. That's why in the end times, people will take up on teachers having what? Itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I want to believe this. And if you want to believe something that is not true, it will lead you to destruction. And so they're promising a pain-free life and sickness, and you don't have to die. And it, by the way, it's appointed for man wants to die than to judge it. You know, you can have all these things. You could be, God wants you prosperous. You know, God wants you holy. I don't know how many times over the last 40-some years people have come to me, and particularly women, saying, God wants me happy. I said, no, God wants you holy. You know what happiness is? That's the word blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's a blessing. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if God wants you happy, Paul surely wasn't going down the right road for that. Neither was Peter. You see, the truth, the unvarnished truth of the Word of God will tell you how to live and why you're doing it and what the results are going to be. And so since the Word of God is available to you, you can decide by using the Word of God whether someone is telling you the truth or not. Now let me tell you something else. This is important to understand before we come to communion. No one's going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, I was deceived, so I'm not responsible. The Lord will say, I gave you my word. Did you check it out with the Word of God? If you were deceived, It's because you wanted to be. Because the Word of God's available to you. And so we have to be very careful. Peter says, listen, there are going to be false teachers. We have to be very careful. We have to know the Word. We have to know the truth. We have to watch out. We have to be able to discern, okay, this doesn't quite sound right. By the way, if you're really deeply into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will use that. And if something doesn't sound quite right, there's a red light comes on to go, there's something wrong here. Careful. Watch out. Now, notice how he ends this dialogue here. He said, the destruction of false teachers is certain. Judgment will come swiftly and will come surely. You know, Kevin alluded it in 10 o'clock message to the fact that it seems like evil, you know, prospers. You know, he alluded to Psalm 2, you know, why do the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? But you know how that psalm ends? Then I considered their end of destruction and ruin, not prosperity. See, there will be a judgment. You know, one of the lines that we sang in the Battle Hymn Republic, that the Lord sifts men's souls, and he'll do so. And so don't worry about what's happening here and now. You stay righteous. You stay true. You stay alert to those things which would lead you astray. Because judgment surely comes. And it not only is sure, it's permanent. It's appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment. And so the short temporal gain these charlatans have because they trick so many people to follow them will result in eternal loss. Matter of fact, remember that's the thing that Solomon bemoaned. He collected all these things. He did all this wonderful thing, everything. And now he's going to die. He's got to leave it all behind. Well, you know what? Everything that you have that's material you're going to leave behind. And somebody else is going to have it. You're passing on. The only thing that you're going to be able to have for all eternity is those things done for Jesus Christ. Jude chapter 4 says this, the parallel passage says this, they turn grace into lasciviousness. They turn grace into lasciviousness, sensuality. They turn grace into that. Which is an abomination. The deceivers say, listen, you can be holy and be sinful at the same time. Matter of fact, the more sinful, the more holy you are. You say, what? Well, red lights should come out all over the place. I've been witnessing to a guy that sells things in front of the bank. And he wants the blessing of God. I said, that's great. But he also confesses he drinks and he does these other things. I said, wait a minute. You don't get blessed by God by being sinful, by being deceived. You can say all kinds of things you want, but if you are not following the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be blessed from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so not only our believers, you and I, want to guard ourselves against the fakes who come with all kinds of charm and all kinds of grace and all kinds of promises. But Peter said, you got to remove them. You know, that's one thing that the Lord commended the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2 as they evaluated false prophets, they removed them. He said, may this not ever be named from you. Paul said, when he had sin in the camp, he said, get them out of there. Let me end by saying this. P.T. Barnum had a lot of different sayings. But he made this statement, which I find very interesting. He says, the reason why his business was successful with circuses is because the public wanted to be hoodwinked. Because the public wanted to be hoodwinked. There are people who want to be deceived because it makes them feel good. But the end they're in is death. Because you see, there's a way that's right to a man, but the way they're in is death. Stay with the Word of God. Evaluate things that you hear. And don't be deceived. I am appalled, absolutely appalled, at so many people who are following popular teachers who have so much error in it. Some aren't even saved. They don't even claim to be saved. Stay away from error. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Stay there. And don't allow deception to send you down a path of ruin. Because the truth must set you free. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the powerful passage where Peter's telling us that false teachers will arise and they will lead many astray. And not only will they lead many astray, but their destruction comes quickly. We just pray, Lord, that you help us to be alert to the wiles of the devil. And we know that it is the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we'll be pure in our thinking and in our lives, and it will give a truthful testimony that in everything and all ways will glorify your name. And Lord, as we come before the communion table this day, Lord, may our hearts be totally focused upon you and our minds totally focused on seeking to serve you and humbling ourselves before you, Lord. Lord, bless your people as we go through this service through Jesus Christ. Amen.